Welcome back to another Daily Walk. Today I want to talk a little bit about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, not the theologically to talk about what it actually is, what it actually means, mostly a commentary on some of what I'm seeing in politics in the world right now. This is not overly political, just a notice, but I do want to use this as a jumping off point. This is actually one of the daily notes in the John MacArthur Daily Bible here, and funny story about this one. Of course, I read a different translation and oftentimes a different Bible every time I read it. So I just started this one earlier this month, and I saw this Bible actually at a friend's church, and he does not like John MacArthur. And I looked up on the bookshelf and I says, "Hey, you got that heretical John MacArthur Bible on your shelf?" He's like, "Yeah, take it. Get it out of here." I like John MacArthur. My friend does not. But that's okay. I love him anyway, right? No. But I want to talk here about this note in this. And so this is laid out like the Tyndale Daily Bible, or one, was it Bible in a Year? Whatever it is, it has a New Testament, Old Testament, Psalm, and Proverb passage every day. And so by the time you read through this one time a day, there's one reading per day, you'll read the entirety of the Bible. You'll read a little bit of the New Testament, a little bit of the Old Testament, a Psalm and a Proverb every day, or some from the Psalms, something from the Proverbs every day. And this particular translation is the New King James. And on day 18, he writes about the unforgivable sin, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Of course, the reference here is from Matthew 12:31. Usually I read the NASB. I'm going to read out of the King James here, or the New King James, since that's what I'm holding here. "Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men." Verse 32, "Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come." So this is always brings up a speculation. What is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? I got to make sure I don't commit it, right? And I'm not going to speculate exactly what it is. I think most people agree in general, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit effectively means attributing to Satan the powers of God. I think that that's what most people will agree on as a rough definition. I will also theologically say I don't think it's possible for a Christian to actually do that. But there's a lot of, this is not a particularly clear teaching. Like I said, I didn't want to comment on it. But what got me thinking was his commentary on that section. According to Jesus' words in Matthew 12:31, the unforgivable sin is blasphemy against the Spirit. The sin he is confronting was the Pharisees' deliberate rejection of that which they knew to be of God. They could not deny the reality of what the Holy Spirit had done through him, so instead they attributed the work to Satan, a work that they knew to be of God. Now, he has another paragraph here which kind of gets into this gradation of sin idea where, you know, if somebody commits a sin in total ignorance, it is not nearly as bad as a sin committed in willful knowledge. Likewise, if all these guys looting stores, they go in and they go into the local grocery store and they steal a loaf of bread and some jelly and some peanut butter and they get on out of there and maybe they're caught, I think the penalty should be a lot less for something like that if they're in poverty and they're seeking to feed themselves or their family. You know, I mean, get a job, there's always a better way. But if somebody steals specifically for that, I am not nearly as mad about that as what really goes on with all these mass lootings. You know, they're going into the Nike store, the Apple store, or whatever stores and just stealing whatever they can for their fun. You know, "I'm stealing, don't worry guys, I'm stealing this 72-inch television so I can sell it and feed my family." Sure you are, sure. And so he goes on to this paragraph 2 here, says, "Someone never exposed to Christ's divine power and presence might reject him in ignorance and it will be forgiven him. Assuming the unbelief gives us a genuine way to genuinely repentance, even a Pharisee such as Saul of Tarsus could be forgiven for speaking against the Son of Man or persecuting the followers because his unbelief stemmed from ignorance. But And those who know his claims are true and reject him anyway sin against the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit who testifies of Christ and makes his truth known to us. No forgiveness was possible for these Pharisees who witnessed his miracles firsthand, knew the truth of his claims, yet still blasphemed the Holy Spirit because they had already rejected the fullest possible revelation. And so what got me thinking about that isn't the concept of what is the unforgivable sin as much as the concept of the people right now. We're seeing a lot of things, particularly in the party of the left, which are completely twisting absolute fact into a screwed up, spun narrative for the explicit purpose of causing people to be in full of dissent. In other words, I'm thinking back to this, I think it was a senator or whatever else, he goes to Kristi Noem's press conference, and while she's live on live TV, he just starts approaching her like a crazy person. Now, he was not wearing his identification, identifying him as a congressperson. He did not make himself known to the security team or anybody else. He did not go and sit among the press corps who is there watching the whole thing. He just wanted to make a beeline specifically for the person while she's on live TV. And what do you think is going to happen when you make a mad dash towards a person on the president's team, cabinet? Well, you're going to get taken down by Secret Service. And that's precisely what happened, because they didn't know who this guy is. He's not a particularly significant politician, but he did this. And then, of course, it causes big stir, and he gets out there, and they get him on the ground. And once they verify he's actually an elected official, they let him go. But then what does he do? He gets right back into there, specifically spin this thing. If they could do this to me, an elected representative, just think of what this tyrant can do to you. I'm sorry. That is so willfully wrong, so willfully arrogant. I can attribute nothing to that but rank evil, because you are literally out there. You're literally out there twisting a narrative that was recorded on so many cameras, has so much information. That is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Not in the political realm, but when you are looking at things of God and you are hating God so much that you do not want to, attribute good deeds to God. You say, well, that's just of Satan. That is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It is a willful rejection from a person who knows the truth and should know a whole lot better. But we're seeing a whole lot more of that in our world. And this is what leads me to believe that we are approaching the end times. The end times are coming upon us. And the evidence for this is really the fact, that so many people are coming out with twisting everything around in so many twisted ways. They're twisting it all over the place. And then while they're doing that, while they're twisting it around, they are presenting it as if they're actually the one in the wrong, or as if they're the one in the right, excuse me, and everybody else is the one in the wrong. That's a problem. That's a problem on the political world. It's a problem in the spiritual world. And this is why humility is called so frequently in the scriptures. You know, God gives grace to the humble. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. As one of the verses in both James 4 and in, I think it's in 1 Peter as well, also quotes that. So just keep that in mind. Always have humility. Always approach things with a questioning mind and really, truly, genuinely see the facts. But if you know you got the facts, you're trying to argue with people and they're just like, okay, this is how it is, and you try and explain it, and they're just like, no, it shouldn't possibly be. Walk away. It's not worth it. You know, I had a neighbor like that a few years ago when that Covington teenager debacle happened in Washington, D.C. You know, there's all of these cameras all over everything. You have the black Israelites over here screaming all sorts of negative stuff towards everybody. You had this Catholic group of kids, this Covington group kids who are just sitting there like, just really wait. I think they were waiting for the bus. They were just sitting there, and here comes this Indian dude with a drum beating it right in the kid's face. What are you going to do? Well, you can either fight back, you just stand there and go... And what's all of the left-wing media is out there doing is all this punchable face, all these kinds of things, doxing this 17-year-old kid. It was all sorts of crazy stuff, where if the people on, like, CNN, whatever else, actually took the integrity to look at the whole thing, I mean, these things were live-streamed all over the place. The non-mainstream media got it that minute. They knew exactly what was going on. All the information was out there. Well, I had a neighbor who was a deep, deep, deep liberal at the time, and we chatted often. And she brings this up, and I said, well, do you really know what's going on? Well, how do you know what was really going on? Were you there? I'm like, no, but you're responding to what CNN just told you. I'm responding to people who actually sat there and watched the entire hour leading up to that event. And I watched the events leading up to this, which CNN refuses to show you. Well, how do you, they know they're right. We have it all on film. Okay, at that point in time, you just can't argue with them. You're just like, okay, we'll see you tomorrow. It'll be great. We'll have some iced tea again. Yeah, you nod your head and you smile and you walk away and get about your business. And that's really, unfortunately, where we are in this world. So turning this back to the scriptures, back to the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, guys, you really, really need to focus and study what the scriptures are. Do not assume that somebody that comes to you with a different theology, do not automatically assume they're wrong. Hear them out, evaluate it, and you might learn something different. I can think of dozens of theological positions I have switched over my life after simply sitting down and looking at what the Bible says and examining different theological points. That's my take-home message in this. So with that, thanks for watching. Have a look at the website, ourwalkinchrist.com, and /books if you want to see the books that we have. Thanks for watching, and hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.